Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing. I'm Andy White, and I'm joined today by Felice.
Hello.
That's Felice Aiding from Site Visibility. Felice, today we're talking about getting the most from your email newsletter, are we not?
Yes, that's right. I think there's, if you take any notice of industry media, there's a lot of talk about how email's dead and, you know, people just aren't reading newsletters and they're not as important as they used to be. So just wanted to talk today about how to get the most out of your newsletter and give people a sort of some hints and some tips for, you know, hopefully increasing things like open rates and click-through rates so that they're still valued as part of the marketing mix. So one of the things I think we're all aware of is that we get bombarded with email. I think there was a survey done a little while ago, and I think the average amount of time we spend per week is about 15 hours dealing with email.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, most of that's probably essential email. So things that you absolutely have to open, you know, send, read. So all of the important stuff, which doesn't leave very much time for more of the fun stuff. So that basically means that brands have to work a lot harder to cut through the noise.
Now, newsletters fascinate me because I don't know why. I've just got this idea in my head that newsletters seem a bit old-fashioned. Are they still as strong as they always were?
I mean, absolutely. You know, while we rely on them less and, you know, people tend to open them less, they are still, you know, a vital way to keep in touch with your community. Depending on your industry as well, some industries are far more email reliant than others. But I think for brands, if you're looking at more of an engagement type newsletter, even if you're not looking at e-commerce, if it's just merely sort of brand awareness, you know, they still have quite a good place. But what they can't do is work terribly well on their own. So siloed out from all of your other activities. So if you're sending a newsletter out, you know, and you're not thinking about, you know, what you want your users to do with that information or whether it's even relevant, whether it's going to be eye-catching, whether it's linking back to another channel, then, you know, the chances are people aren't going to waste their time opening it or reading it.
So has that changed for these? I mean, you know, five years ago, which is like a millennium in internet terms, was that less the case? Was it, would an email newsletter stand up more on its own? Is it sort of becoming more important that it's integrated today more so than it was a while ago? That's probably what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, before we really got going with social, you know, email e-newsletters were really your main driver to push content out to your users. So, you know, rather than waiting for customers to come and visit your website, you know, you'd send them regular updates about what you were doing, what you were up to, you know, offers, sales, all of those kind of things. So people would subscribe so that they could get notified of what was happening. But with obviously the rise of things like Facebook and Twitter, you know, if a user wanted to engage with a brand like a, you know, a clothing shop or, you know, they'd probably follow their Facebook page because then they're getting those notifications. It's obviously up to date as opposed to an email where, you know, it could be a month before you get one and that information could be slightly out of date by the time it comes through. But what it can do is obviously for those people that perhaps aren't as engaged on social or just want the headlines, you know, as long as you're making those emails are relevant to the people that are opening them, it can still be a nice way to round up certain things and possibly provide exclusive information or news or offers.
Or links to more in-depth stuff.
Or links to more in-depth stuff.
Yeah.
So we thought we'd just talk a little bit about some of the basics that can help you to to get a bit more from your newsletters. Obviously, if you're, you know, you put time into crafting them, sending them out, you know, and if you start seeing figures dropping, or, you know, people just aren't opening them, or you're getting a lot of unsubscribes, you know, it can be quite demoralizing, you know, and get to the point where you feel like maybe it's just not the channel for you, when often it's just a case of it's not quite the right fit for what your users are looking for.
Okay, brilliant. What's the first one?
The most important thing comes back to you. You know, the kind of common train really with search and everything else that you're doing is putting the customer first. I think often brands make the mistake of thinking about what they want to say. So what do we want to tell people about this month? Instead of thinking about what are our customers more likely to respond to? And I think starting off with setting out some goals for your newsletter, I think is that, you know, is probably the most important thing most brands can do. So think about what you want your users to do. So do you want them to click through to your website? Do you want them to go and follow you on social media? Do you want them to share a piece of content? Do you want them to purchase something? Do you want them to fill out a form on your site or download something or watch a video? So think about all those goals and have them actually written down somewhere. And then every time you decide on a piece of content for your newsletter, you refer back to those goals. And if it's not fulfilling one of them, it means you can quite quickly dismiss or, you know, make decisions on whether content should go in or shouldn't go in. And I think once you've done that, think about, you know, the old rules still apply. So, you know, think about the length of your newsletter. So don't try and cram too much in. It's tempting, you know, if your newsletter comes out every month, it's tempting to try and tell people everything you've done in the month since you wrote the last one.
They're a bit like those letters that friends that you don't see very often send you once a year, like, with a synopsis of what's been happening in their family. It's about 5 pages long.
Yeah, and it's too much. Nobody's going to read it.
You get those too, do you?
Yeah. You want this? You want the headlines.
Is it from the same person?
It could well be. Yeah, I mean, but, you know, you get an essay, you open it up, and it puts you off straight away. Straight away. So you think about having just short, concise pieces of content. So maybe, you know, 3, maximum of 5 stories. The more you have, the shorter they need to be.
I bet this is on your list to talk later, but I'm going to preempt you. Do you think that the actual sort of layout of the email is as important now as it was, or more important?
I mean, it still is. And again, it depends on the type of brand you are. If, say, you're financial services, you know, quick, short bullet points with perhaps an intro, you know, 2-line intro that takes somebody back to the website, or grouped content actually might work better for you. But if you're more of an engagement brand, then you might want to think about, you know, having some nice images and laying it out more like almost like a web page.
Yeah.
In that sense. And things like images can work quite well, again, depending on your brand and who you're trying to engage with. But again, you have to understand what who your customers are and what they're going to enjoy to make those kind of decisions. So again, it's taking it away from not thinking about how you want it to look and what you want to say, but thinking about, is the customer actually going to enjoy this?
Will
images improve this content? Will images make it more likely that people will actually click through or read the content? Obviously, you've got to think about size, you know, and not embedding things like text within images, because often people will open a newsletter and they might read it without downloading the images.
Of course, yes.
So don't embed the main point of your story within an image. Just use them to enhance the content. But making sure that they're broken up, you know, into clear chunks so people can see the individual stories. Think about mobile. You know, right around 50% of us consume emails on our mobile phones. So again, if you're opening it on a mobile and it doesn't look great, chances are people aren't going to bother reading it. So even if they've opened it, they won't engage. So things like, I mean, you know, once you've decided on what your content is going to be, each one of them has a clear call to action and has been written well, then you've got to think about what the first thing is the user is going to see. And that is your subject line and who the email's from. And I think that, you know, these two things work in conjunction with each other. You know, who the email's actually coming from is actually quite important. You know, there's a school of thought about whether it should come from a name. You know, so if I were to send out a newsletter, it would come from, you know, Felice at Site Visibility, or whether it would come from Site Visibility News or News at Site Visibility, something like that. But using the from field for your brand can help, because it means you don't necessarily need to include your brand in the subject line. And if you think you've got quite a short amount of time, you've got sort of 50 to 70 characters often.
Yeah.
It's actually shown in the subject line, or, you know, on someone's phone.
That's really important, isn't it? Because people forget your email has, obviously it has the email part, but it also has the human texty part, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I'm Andy White. Sometimes I'm silly and I put Brigadier White or something like that. But you can control, can't you, what is actually put there?
Yeah, you can control who the emails come from. And I think, you know, what that can do is that can work in conjunction with your subject line, you know, to pull people in. But that subject line has to contain some kind of value for the consumer, for the end reader, to make them want to open it.
Yeah.
So things like, you know, just having something like, you know, Brand X newsletter, July 2014, it's not terribly exciting unless the reader knows for sure that every email they get from you contains really, really useful information, then they might open it. But if you haven't yet established that, then you do need to be thinking about, from the end user's perspective, what am I going to get from opening this email? So you have to make something quite compelling and add value within the subject line. And wasting that space by putting a lot of information about who the emails come from, you know, you're missing an opportunity.
Yeah, sure.
In terms of industry standards, you know, in terms of open rates and click-through rates, actually quite low. Depending on your industry, it varies, but on average, an open rate of between 20 to 40% is actually pretty good. So if you've got a, you know, general open rate of 25, 30%, you know, from a brand's perspective, they look at that and think, well, that's less than a third of the people are actually opening it. But that's actually, you know, if you're in that bracket, you're actually doing okay and don't necessarily need to worry too much. And it's an average each month, so not every reader will open every email. So if you've got a you know, about a third of the of your audience each month is opening your email, you're doing quite well. And then in terms of sort of click-through rates, so where you've got links in your email, if people, you want people to actually click on them and follow that link to your Facebook page or to YouTube or wherever it is you want them to go. And I think the average click-through rates there are about 2 to 10%. So again, you know, these are not massive figures that we're looking at. So I think, you know, that's something that's quite useful for brands to be able to put that in context when they're looking at the data.
Do you think there's a general expectation that click-through rates are going to be higher? Are people a bit naive about this, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I think most brands feel like they want to see the majority of their audience opening and engaging with their emails. But it's just not the way it works. It just doesn't happen that way. We don't all.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Engage with every message that we get. And because, you know, especially if you've got quite a large reader base, it's quite difficult to, you know, to reach every single one of them every single month. You know, sometimes you're going to vary your content. One month it might be suited to one particular part of your audience, and the next month it might be somebody else that's more interested. There might be things like, you know, if you run regular competitions, there's going to be a core people that always open those, other people not so much. And also thinking about where you've got those signups from. And again, things like competitions and offers can be quite, you know, can work quite well to drive
incentives.
Signups. Yeah, so there's incentives.
Yeah.
But often a proportion of those people are only interested in competitions. They won't engage with the rest of your brand. But when there's a competition up, you know, they'll engage, they'll share it, they'll go on Twitter, they'll Facebook, talk about it. So they're quite useful to help with your general brand awareness, but they may not necessarily convert the way you'd like them to on site. So I think understanding the different uses your customers have in terms of what they can help you do.
Uses, yes. And this utilitarian approach to clients.
Yes, absolutely, mercenary. But, you know, at the end of the day, that is the kind of the point, isn't it? Most brands don't, you know, engage with readers because they're, you know, very philanthropic and just want to spend their time making people's lives better and making them happy and sending them things that make them laugh. Mm. Ultimately, they want them to do something, take an action that's going to benefit them as a business. It's just the way the world works. So, you know, but I think then thinking about there's an element of that, of wanting to engage on the customer's level, but all of these things have to work for both. Which I think, you know, brings us back to the point that we made about, you know, your newsletter not being something that just sits on its own. It has to work with your other channels. So your website is, you know, is going to be the partner of your newsletter. So the vast majority of content, you're probably looking to drive people back to your website for follow a particular story or a particular sign up or a product.
And of course, if it's a specific page, you can track that. That's only available perhaps in the or mentioned in the newsletter. You can track that, can't you?
You can. I mean, you can track all of it. You know, you, whatever links you've got in your email, whether it's, you know, social buttons in the footer or your main website address, you can track all of those links. You can also track them to individual users. So you can actually see if you've got sort of some users that are clicking on it quite a lot or regularly engaged. And you can obviously see those users that haven't engaged at all, which can help you when you're thinking about sort of cleansing data and, you know, and cleaning people off. If they're not engaged with you for quite a while, then you think about whether they you want them to actually stay and keep getting your newsletter. There's lots of different tools out there to manage email. Once you've moved away from Excel spreadsheets and you're getting to use even something very basic like MailChimp, which a lot of brands end up starting off with, MailChimp can track all of that information and you can link it obviously with your Google Analytics. So you can track all of those visits and then start to actually look at, okay, when they have come to the site, we've managed to get them to open the email, click on the link, they've gone to the website, what do they do then? So you can track that full journey using things like MailChimp and analytics, and there's other tools as well that you can plug in. When you get a bit more sophisticated and you start to, you know, use sort of bigger and better email management systems, then you've got full CRM systems, you know, that's when it all starts to get very clever and very smart. And that kind of leads us on to thinking about segmentation of your audience groups. And again, you know, think about you've got a group of, I don't know, you might have 8,000-9,000 people on your list. You know, probably a lot more. You're probably looking at maybe 80,000-90,000 people on your list, and you're sending them the same email. So within that group, you could they're probably clusters. So you could group together customers with similar interests. And think about, you know, so if you've got four stories in your newsletter, trying to include one that you think will match each group is a nice idea, because then there's always something for everyone. But then most of the stories won't be relevant. So when you think about segmentation, if you could actually segment those people into groups and say these people always engage with this type of content, then you can actually create a newsletter that only really contains that kind of content. And they get that version of your newsletter. The chances are your open rates are going to go up, your click-through rates are going to go up, because those people are getting a set of information that is directly relevant to them. And there's things like this, you know, you can segment people by almost anything. Interest groups that, you know, are quite good, or, you know, historic behavior, or when they signed up. You could almost have different newsletters for somebody who perhaps has only been signed up with you for a couple of months, as opposed to somebody that's been signed up for a year. So you almost have like a welcoming period where you introduce them to the brand a little bit more, you know, you pull them into the family, so to speak, before you start hitting them with all the offers. And then, you know, if you've got other people that have been with you for a while and they regularly engage with you, you know, they're on your Facebook page as well, they could get slightly more tailored content that gives them the option to engage further or share more. So, you know, there's lots of different ways to segment your audience. And like I said, you know, you can get some very, very good CRM systems now that can automate a lot of that for you. So you literally just tag your customers up and you can auto-generate particular types of content at particular times for particular people. And it's all tracked and it all comes back.
So it can get very sophisticated. It
can get very sophisticated,
And you're a full-time person.
It's a full-time job.
Space scientist.
But I mean, obviously, if you've got massive, you know, masses of masses of contacts. You know, at some point you're going to get to a point where you just, you're not going to be able to serve them all.
Yeah.
And then you, you know, you're trying to meet too many needs with one channel. And again, you know, we're thinking about the type of content to include. You know, you have to, thinking about your newsletter as one channel for all of your messaging means that you can just focus the content that's actually going to be relevant. So if there's other news, other things that have happened in your organization, the chances are you may have already shared them on Facebook. You may have popped it up on, you know, on the homepage of your website. You've probably tweeted it out. You might have, you know, put some nice photos or something on Pinterest. So then that content doesn't necessarily need to be included in the newsletter. And for those people that want more information, that want more of that kind of content, you know, you encourage them to go through and follow your Facebook page so they can engage there as well. So it's good to keep some content back just for your newsletter so that it adds value. There's no point if you can already get it everywhere else. But you don't have to try and cram everything in, all your news, all in one place.
It's a bit like doing a podcast, isn't it? Because you're sort of, it's episodic content in a way.
It is, yeah. And it's tempting to want to cover everything all at once. So I'm thinking about, you know, if we don't tell them, if we don't put it in the newsletter, those people won't know about it. Because the chances are, if they're well engaged and they like your brand, they are, probably are engaging with you on other channels as well. And if they're not, there's nothing wrong with just putting a line in your, you know, in your newsletter saying if you want more of this or to stay up to date with our latest news or to find out when we're out and about, why not follow us on Facebook? You know, and again, you can track those kind of links as well. So you can see if your readers are actually willing to follow that and, you know, and engage with you elsewhere. One of the biggest things with email that I would just recommend, even if you're using something basic like MailChimp, is to test your emails.
Yes.
So you can test things like your subject lines. So if you're not 100% sure which way to go, you've got a couple of things that you think, well, it could be this, it could be that. You could actually do a test, which means you can set it up in MailChimp, have the same newsletter, two different subject lines, and then you can select however you want to segment the test is up to you. But the kind of basic standard is you say, right, I send this to 40% of my mail list. MailChimp will come back and let you know which one was more successful. And then you can say, right, okay, I'll send that version to the rest, to the other 60%.
Yes, yeah.
And that can be a nice way each month. It means you don't have to send, you know, if you are going to make a change, it's quite a big risk if you just send that version to everybody because it may bomb and then that month you don't get all your numbers drop. But it, so it means you can just send it to a selection and just start to learn a little bit more about what kind of content, what kind of subject lines your readers will engage with, you know, more often than not. And you can test things like the, you know, the layout of your emails. You can test things like plain text versus HTML. You can test from the email addresses. So if you've got, you know, if you think, well, you know, which one actually works better with the subject line, so you can test that as well. We never, always recommend only testing one thing in any one go.
Yes. Otherwise, you don't know which changes make the effect, do you?
No. So it's always, you know, it's good to, and it's good to go softly, softly, because what you don't want to do is put off those people that do open your newsletter regularly. A sudden change may mean that those people don't recognize it as much. And that, you know, that familiarity, that knowing, you know, recognizing the email that it's coming from.
Yeah.
You know, it's quite important to maintain that.
But it's important to maintain style, isn't it?
It is.
I always like Kelvin's emails, actually, because they're very chatty.
They're very, yeah, it's very chatty.
Like it's from an individual person.
I think he kind of is, though, isn't it, with Kelvin?
He is an individual person, I've checked.
Yeah, yes. He is an individual person. But you can have that kind of voice as a brand as well. You know, so I think while email, generally in our working lives, we see that as more formal. With a newsletter, you can be quite chatty. Again, depending on your audience, who is it you're talking to? Do they want you to be informal or would they prefer a more professional tone? So all of the things, you know, they all contribute. But I would say for anyone thinking about not like giving up on their emails in their newsletters, I definitely recommend hanging on to them. And I think just, you know, just having a look at whether they're actually working for you and how you can improve them. And just, you know, and just deliver a better experience for your customers. Because if, you know, if you give them something that's interesting and relevant, chances are they'll open it and share it and do what you want them to do.
Felice, fantastic. I was just about to ask you if there was a summing up sentence and you gave it to me anyway.
Brilliant.
So thank you very much for listening, everyone. Sitevisibility.com/IM podcast is the place to go for the podcast. Overuse of the word podcast there. If you've got questions, it's podcast again at sitevisibility.co.uk. We have a telephone line 01273 256 150. And if you're calling from abroad, instead of the 0 at the front, do a +44. And of course, we're in iTunes and we we do like reviews and ratings, so feel free to put your two pence worth in. See you next time on Internet Marketing. It's goodbye from me, Andy, and it's goodbye from
Felice Ayling.
See you next time.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.